The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
It certainly is the final hooter here on Radio General. My name's Dave Parkinson and, we're here again. It is, of course, our Rugby League show, the final hooter. I'm delighted to be joined by Dave Birch once again.
Good evening.
And, what a weekend it's been. Wembley weekend, how was it for you?
Just recovering now. We go every year as a group of friends, just for a bit of male bonding. And to be fair, it was a good weekend, pretty successful. And it wasn't a bad game of Rugby League, although it was one-sided in the end. I thought it was a pretty good game to start with, but first Leeds try was a little bit fortuitous. But again, you have to play to the whistle, to the referee, and Leeds did, and they scored a good try. For the second try, had a possibility of a slight forward pass, but again, borderline either way. And if those two decisions have gone differently, then obviously they go in at half time. They're not 16 down, they're just possibly 4 or 6 points down in that first half, and it could be a different game.
Yeah, I thought for much of that first half, Hull Kingston Rovers competed pretty well, didn't they? They were particularly impressive coming forward from the back. I thought Kieran Dixon was running pretty well, although he was to have a hand or an assist in several Leeds tries in the second half.
Yeah, his hands were a little bit of a problem, weren't they?
However, I will stick up for Kieran Dixon here, because usually, you know, Challenge Cup finals or finals have seen many wingers rise to the top of the game. Leroy Rivette, whatever happened to him after he scored those four tries at Wembley?
He ended up in Warrington, didn't he?
He did. Did a short stint at Warrington, ended up retiring from Rochdale Hornets, played a couple of spells at Lee as well. Good guy.
I'll take your word for it, never met him.
But of course, Kieran Dixon, will he be cast aside now? Should he be castigated for that performance?
Not really, I don't think so. As you said, he was the biggest meter maker for Hull Kingston Rovers. And again, you know, it was one of them, it was quite a slippy ball as well. And, he took the ball, he wanted to take the ball. And the more you take it, the more chance you've got to make a mistake as well. You know, and he always kept putting his hand up and going again. So I think he should be commended for that. And again, as you said, you know, a lot worse players in Rugby League have had bad games.
And to be fair as well, I mean, you look at the... I mean, I'm one for stats. I know you can paint a stat in a million different colours, can't you? To illustrate a point that you're going to make. And I'm going to illustrate this point here, because he ran for twice as many metres as any other Hull Kingston Rovers player.
Exactly. So, you know, he wanted the ball and, you know, he wasn't afraid of making an error. As I said, it could have happened to absolutely anyone. And, you know, there's a lot of Hull Kingston Rovers players who really can't hold their head up as thinking that they had the best moments at Wembley as well. They got through to a final and maybe they got a little bit of cold feet, should we say.
Now, I was quite surprised, because the previous week against Widnes, they kicked the ball so well. Mm. I mean, they had Widnes pinned back inside their own half for much of the game and really did have a stranglehold on it. Key to that was a young halfback they had called Marsh.
That's right, yeah.
Kicked Widnes to death. He was brilliant. He had a great game. You know, his distribution was very good and smart as well. He was nowhere near the final, and instead they brought the big guns back, didn't they?
They did, and whether Kelly was fully fit, I'm not sure. I thought Blair kicked very well, left-footed. Most of his kicks made touch. But a lot of Kelly's kicks went dead, and the young lad who was sat next to me, he thought that was a good tactic to sort of, you know, get the leads straight. You know, they could obviously set up on the 20 and, defend from there. And he thought that was actually a good tactic. But I prefer, you know, kicking the ball out into touch, you know, and trying to put them as near, you know, to the cut. And Maurice Blair kicked very, very well. But, you know, whether Kelly was fully fit, I don't know, or whether Leeds, you know, managed him well, because, you know, they had a bloke there playing at hooker called Kevin Sinfield, who had a fantastic match in a position where, you know, he has played before and he's played international for there, but, you know, he's not known as a hooker. But I thought he controlled that ruck area and the middle of the field absolutely fantastically.
Now, there's some Wigan fans that I know who just think that Kevin Sinfield has been a kicker all through his career. I've argued this point, you know, that put him and O'Loughlin together in a room, and I think that Kevin Sinfield is by far and away the better rugby league player. Where do you lie on that sort of debate?
It's a tough one, because...
You don't rate either of them.
No, because you then come back to the old adage is, you know, Sean O'Loughlin puts in 40, could have put in nearly 50 tackles a game, you know, but you know, he's never on the pitch, is he? Because he's always seems to be injured at the moment. But when he is on the pitch, you know, he is a big leader for the Wigan Warriors, and he makes yards, puts in the hard tackles. Whereas whether Sinfield gets all the plaudits, because he does kick the conversions from the touchline quite regularly. You know, he's kicking in open play. They're two different players. I think if you put them both in a room and morph them together, I think you'd have the best rugby league player in the world.
There you have it.
There you go.
That could be a new feature, couldn't it?
Morphing them together.
Morph the players. I tell you what, I'll raise you.
In 20 years, due to technology, you never know, do you? You know what I mean? You may be able to morph your own rugby player in there.
I'll raise you a Kevin Sinfield and an O'Loughlin.
Go on.
And I'll stick in there a Callum Watkins.
Oh.
Right. And a Tom Briscoe.
Fantastic. Well, you will only need one player on the right-hand side, wouldn't you? Because they'd be able to tackle for two, wouldn't they? And they wouldn't need anyone to pass to because they'd be running absolutely phenomenal. Great display to score 5 tries in any game. Made a little bit easier when you've got probably the form centre in the Super League. I don't know. I wouldn't say the world because, you know, there are some good players in the NRL, but he's certainly the best centre in the league at the moment. And, you know, he started to work for some of those tries, Briscoe, especially the first one, where he was out on the touchline, he burrowed himself inside. But absolutely phenomenal. To score 5 tries in any match is a good feat. To score it at Wembley Stadium in front of 77,000 people, wow. Love to be Tom Briscoe this week, wouldn't you?
It's like Roy of the Rovers stuff, isn't it? Basically.
It is, it is.
You know,
it
it's
is.
What you dream of as a professional player coming through.
The only
not
thing
just
that,
to score at one try, but 5. I mean, fantastic.
The only thing that would probably be something different is maybe if it was, say, 24 all and you scored the winning try in the corner, or, you know, you kicked the winning goal.
With
in
2 seconds left.
Yeah, you know, something like that would probably, but an overall 5 try performance. And there were a few Leeds players who could have took that Lance Trophy home, definitely.
Well, yeah, I mean, I picked out Jamie Peacock, because it just seems that, you know, wherever the action goes on the field for Leeds Rhinos this season, he's never too far away from it. He's either leading it and charging in, and I'd argue that at 37 years old, he's playing the best rugby that he ever has done.
Certainly, and for someone of that age, you know, I think too much is put on how old he is. It's just the fact of, you know, how well he's performing. And over the last sort of 2 to 3 seasons, he's been up there as probably one of the form props in Super League. I put Chris Hill up there as well with my little Warrington Primrose and Billy glasses on. But between them two, you wouldn't want a better couple of forwards. And the thing with Jamie is obviously he does a bit of work for the BBC. I think he was just showing off in front of his mates, wasn't he? like he was in the semi-final when he scored that try.
Yeah, the thing is, though, I mean, he's done it every week this season so far, hasn't he? I mean,
he
over 200 metres he runs from. Now, I remember having a chat with Ian. I'm going to drop a name here.
Oh, go on.
Ian Millward.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's a big name, though.
Yeah, it is a big name to drop in here, isn't it? But I remember once having a chat with Ian, and he was telling me that when he looked at the stats after a game, he'd look at the general involvement, but then he'd look at the metres made column, because he always said that if you make over 100 metres on a rugby league field, you've had a good game. He made over 200.
That's amazing, isn't it? And also what you found with Jamie Peacock is he's such massive spells as well on the pitch. And that's week in, week out as well. It's not just like one game at Wembley. It's, you know, it's every week he does massive spells, whereas you do get some forwards and literally they do 10 minutes and that's all they do. You know what I mean? So,
are you thinking Pagliacina?
No, I was thinking more Mossy myself.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's easy enough, but don't get me started on Mossy. I don't think St. Helens have seen the best of him. In fact, I'm looking forward to next season when they've got a couple of proper forwards that might do a few more minutes for him.
Well, he's off to the other Saints, isn't he, in the NRL? But I'd be glad to see the back of him, especially after that try scored at the Halliwell Jones, where he just walked straight through the Warrington defence. So,
he has had his moments, hasn't he?
Yeah, but again, Jamie Peacock did that after doing 80 minutes as well. He did the same thing to the Saints defence, didn't he? But, you know, you have your Chris Hills, and your Jamie Peacock, who just put in immense stints, and their Opta stats and their metres gained per game is absolutely phenomenal. So I think a lot of other teams will be glad to see the back of Jamie Peacock as well when he goes into his new role at Hull Kingston Rovers, amazingly.
Yeah, quite ironic.
That's if he's allowed in.
Quite ironic that he's going back. Now, what did you make of the cheekiness of the Hull Kingston Rovers fans? Or was it the club in pinning a red flag outside the KC Stadium saying, the city is yours, we've all gone to Wembley?
A little bit nasty, but I'm sure the Hull FC have got their own back with someone put a little sign on the bridge as you go into, like, with 50. 50-0 on it as well.
And you don't need to say anything else.
No, no, really? And also they've been touting their new membership scheme this year at Hull, and it was a win 50 was the hashtag. It was the first 50 people to win. So they seem to be using that 5-0 quite a bit this week, Hull FC.
There seems to be a bit of this, publicity, if you like, which has backfired. I'm thinking recently we've had Chris Sander at Warrington.
Yeah.
He was the big pie smash and ended up getting smashed himself.
It was, and that's not the first time Warrington have done that. I remember
they did it for a Challenge Cup game.
They'd won the Cup 2 years on the run in 2009 and 2010, and in 2011 they took on Wigan Warriors again in the quarter final, and that was a home game at Halliwell Jones, and it was a big sign of Adrian Morley outside the ground saying, if you want some sort of, Come and have a go if you
figure
out.
Come and take our cup back, I think it was.
Yeah.
If you want it, come and get it.
Yeah, come and get it.
That might have been the slogan. And they did.
And they absolutely battled us. I think they put 40 points on us that day as well. So first Challenge Cup defeat for 3 years. And they should know better, shouldn't they, really? But, they're only trying to get fans, to buy tickets, especially, Friday evenings, wet weather, and Warrington have been playing well. They had to try and do something and, big up the Warrington marketing team. Just maybe don't pick on Wigan next time, I think.
Now, I was reading something the other day as well, saying that Adam Cuthbertson, in this particular journalist's opinion, is reinventing the prop role. Do you think he is, or are we just seeing a bit of a morphing, to be honest, of second row prop, offload merchant?
He is. I think it's all to do with the offloads, isn't it? Because he's head and shoulders above everyone in the offloads at the moment. And he's
double.
He's double, whoever else is next. And for years, really, we haven't seen sort of an offloading ball playing prop four, probably seen someone like James Graham or someone like that. So, it's good to see, I don't think he's doing anything that props haven't done before, but he's just doing it very, very well.
Well, I think it's just one of those, isn't it, that during the 1980s, I always hark back to the 80s, that's when I started watching rugby league, and it seemed like every team had a ball handling forward. I'm thinking, Leah Derek Pike, later to go on and represent Widnes as well. I can't think who Warrington would have had, but I'm sure they had more than the first handling forwards.
Well, we had Bob Jackson.
Yeah.
Bob Jackson, who was a great second row, and he scored a lot of tries as well. And, we had Les Boyd, and he didn't really play the ball. He just played over everybody else, didn't he? to give him his full title. Apologies to that one.
I've got a story about Les Boyd, actually, but I'll leave it there.
Get online with Radio General.
www.radiogeneral.co.uk.
Radio General Online has information about the station's presenters, along with our current programme schedule and details of how to make requests for patients in Warrington Hospital. There's also plenty of background information about Radio General, including our long history of broadcasting in Warrington.
Radio General Online.
www.radiogeneral.co.uk.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Yes, it certainly is the Final Hooter here on Radio General. I'm Dave Parkinson. This is, of course, also the loverugbyleague.com podcast as well. I'm delighted to be joined, as before, by Dave Butch. We played a bit of Tragedy for the Hull Kingston Rovers fans. Good song choice.
It was a very good song choice as well. And, it was a shame for them. But, it's just that the whole day, and even though they lost, I'm sure the majority of the fans enjoyed their trip to London. And, hopefully it wasn't too long coming back.
See, I'd hate that. Having been a Leaf fan to several grand finals, there is no solace that you can take in losing in a grand final.
I must admit, I've been lucky, because obviously we were Warrington winning three Challenge Cups. It's good. And obviously, the trip home is very, very good as well. I probably agree with you a bit about the grand final, because having lost at Old Trafford a couple of times, amazingly enough, that half an hour journey from Manchester to home feels like about 4 hours. It's awful. So maybe, but they seem to be having a good time anyway. The ones I saw anyway were.
So your highlights from the day, Dave?
My highlights from the day were going to the bar just before the match, buying 4 pints, which is, at Wembley, £5 a pint, which is amazing.
£5 a pint? Yeah. It's gone up since I was last there.
Yeah, and luckily, she only charged me for two, so I got them at £2.50. So that's my highlight of the final.
How did you manage that? Did you end up sort of, was it one of these like squashy glasses?
Well, no, what they do is they actually open bottles and then they pour it into a pint glass. Like, I'm not going to be able to throw a bottle from the top tier of Wembley onto the pitch, am I? But they still do that, unless I was like Tessa Sanderson or someone like Steve Backley. But I think what it is she got that confused with me asking her, can I have the bottle? Can I have the bottle? That he just threw her and she just charged me for two.
I was thinking...
Just get rid of me.
You didn't do like a David Blaine or a David Copperfield, did you, and sort of mirage the others, you know? I don't know, hide them away.
If I could.
Hidden behind a programme or something.
If I could, I wouldn't be sat here, I don't think. I think I'd have my own TV show.
That's true.
I'd be a Warrington's version of Dynamo.
Right. I tell you what my highlight was.
Go on.
And it was Lizzie Jones singing a very, very emotional Abide With Me. I mean,
oh, it's absolutely amazing.
The rugby league world has been touched this season with the way that, you know, Lizzie has shown such strength to overcome what she has and what a young family have been through as well. I mean, losing Danny in the way that, you know, everything happened. I think that the Keithley Club deserve a real pat on the back, and Lizzie, she showed that she's something special.
What I found amazing, Dave, was obviously I go to the final every year, you know, whoever gets there, and that anthem, Abide With Me, obviously they sing it just before the teams come out, and every year, you know, the fans all join in, and it's a great sound to hear, you know, 70,000 people singing Abide With Me, as well as whoever is the choice of singer. For Lizzie Jones to come out, which was amazing, and the actual applause that she got when she came onto the pitch was like she'd just walked down with the cup. Kevin Sinfield didn't get as good a cheer from lifting the trophy. She come on the pitch. She was absolutely fantastic. First verse, brilliant. But what I found was really strange was everyone stayed silent and just let her sing it on her own, and was very poignant. Now, obviously, when the picture of her and Danny went up on the screen, there was a nice hand clap as well, which didn't overpower, because you think a lot of people clapping hands, it could overpower the song. She lost it a little. She had a little wobble, but she got it back absolutely brilliantly. And what was really poignant for myself and my seven friends that I was with as well is, you know, We go every year, and my friend Ian, who organised the trip, he lost his dad, Alan, just before Christmas this year. And Alan comes on the trip every year as well, so it was our first trip without Alan. And as soon as she started singing that, well, we were blubbing like anything, because that was a song that was played at Alan's funeral as well. And for someone to sing it so well with what it meant for her really touched us as well. And it was about 10 minutes into the first half before I could actually speak to the person next to me, because I was wobbling, my lip was wobbling, everything was fantastic.
I thought it was a real magic moment, and it was certainly one of those spine-tingling, that's all I can describe it as. I mean, I was watching it 250 miles away from front room in Lee, you know, so, and if it's having that much effect on me, watching it in front of the television and in front of, you know, the audience of millions that were watching it, I can only think about what it did, you know. And Lizzie's actually commented herself afterwards, yeah, which I thought was a lovely comment that she's made. She said, when I walked out at Wembley, it felt like I was walking out to a huge hug.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And she was, you know, and you could feel that. But it was just really eerie, because normally everyone joins in, and they just didn't this time. And they just left her to do it by herself. And then obviously they brought the twins on as well. You know, so she managed to walk on. But so, so brave. I mean, I wouldn't do it if I hadn't lost anyone, you know, to stand up in front of that many people. And, you know, she does sing, but, she, you know, I don't know how many times she's sung in front of 70,000 people. And, of course, with what's gone on, then, well, you hold me out to it. And to be fair, she should have got the Lance Todd trophy, I think, on Saturday.
I'd give her the Man of Steel. Never mind, Lance Todd, that's it. She's got my vote.
Definitely, she's got mine as well, that's
two. But no, beautiful moment. And to be honest, that's what Wembley does, isn't it? That's the Wembley Cup final. It creates these moments that live with people forever.
Yeah, everyone who's in that ground who watched that game on TV, you know, the amount of times it's been retweeted on my Twitter feed this week and my Facebook page as well. I couldn't watch it again because I think I'll just break down again, because it was so nice. But, you know, absolutely phenomenal from Lizzie Jones. And let's hope maybe they let us sing at the grand final as well.
Talking about, you know, making memories for all the right reasons. It'll be remembered because of Tom Briscoe's five tries. It'll be remembered because Kevin Sinfield, you know, his potential last
Wembley,
you know, for definite. But also it's going to be remembered because five legends of rugby league were immortalised in a bronze statue. Now, it was created by a Hull-based sculptor in Stephen Winterburn. and it was 3 years in the making, and it features five all-time greats. Can you tell them? Did you get the chance to have a look at this
You statue? Know what? I did, and it looks absolutely brilliant, and it's about time Rugby League was sort of mentioned outside Wembley. I know there's a great great statue of Sir Bobby Moore, of course.
That's not far away from where this has been.
It's just around the corner, and, obviously Sir Bobby Moore won the World Cup there, and should be immortalised, but as you said, the Rugby League's been being played at Wembley for a good number of years, also since, Wembley became Wembley. These are people, you could probably name a few more as well who could have been on there, but I think a fitting choice to most of them.
Yeah, I mean, the people that eventually made it into immortalised bronze were Eric Ashton, Billy Boston, Martin Afire, Alex Murphy and Gus Risman. In modern day times, you couldn't fit that lot under a salary cap.
Exactly, some brilliant players, and, they've all made great moments at Wembley Stadium. And, thoroughly deserved as well. Although I always have a bit of a giggle because the one with Martin Afire, he's got his hands over his face, because he'd just run the length of the field, scored an absolutely phenomenal try for Wigan to help them win the cup. I always think Francis Cummings scored a better try in that match, but that's the one that always gets immortalised.
Was that the season when he was the youngest Wembley debutant?
The
season after?
No, that was the one.
Was that the one?
That was the one, 94, yeah. He played the year after as well. Wigan won the year after in 95 as well.
I'm glad you know your rugby league.
That was my first fight.
Was it?
Well, sorry, my second final I went to. I went to 1990 when Warrington were beaten by Wigan, but first one on my road of going with my friends. As a friendly band, male bonding, as we say.
Now, this was Leeds' second Wembley in succession, and here is the post-match press conference. So this is Kevin Sinfield, Brian McDermott and Tom Briscoe talking to the press after the game.
The final, that performance was one of the best while you were in the road. How is that
for you today? Well, for different reasons. I think I'd have a different assessment of it. To score 50 points and to nil somebody is huge. You don't want to pay lip service to that. Hull KR faced a different challenge from Hull KR. They were the underdogs, and I think it was outstanding in terms of handling the pressures of being the favourites. I thought we handled that pressure really, really well. In terms of the overall performance, I'm probably critical of our team in the first half. I thought we played a bit too conservative in the first half, but defensively, just absolutely nailed everything OK I tried to do. The three blokes who started down in the back row were Kyle Ablett, Stevie Ward and Brett Delaney, and the amount of work that you've got to get those you've got to chew through to make somebody look less potent than what OKR clearly are was down to those three blokes. I thought that when they were trying to come away from their trial, and every time they tried something, invariably those three blokes, as long as everybody else, but those three blokes were in the mix making some really tough tackles.
I'd say that was
a great defensive display, and if you was to pin me down to single out one thing, defence got us that game for sure. And then once the platform's laid, we can score some points, and then Hull KR became tired, and I don't think they were 50 points to the bad, they're a better team than that. And in the first half it was a contest. We tried to score more points in the first half, but they wouldn't let us. They had some bite about them, but I think the journey we've been on in recent weeks compared to the journey they've been on in recent weeks probably showed. They've been playing some championship teams and some, in there in the qualifiers, and we've been involved in some very high intensity games.
Brian, did you go to bed last night? Did you win the championship?
I thought about 48. No, absolutely not. I've been involved in enough losses of this competition to never think I will be all right, and that was the challenge on Monday. As soon as we got Hull out of the way on Monday morning, we had a meeting, and pretty much five went across everybody's bow and thought, if anybody's we're going to have a cup of tea and relax, and thought, well, it's only OKR, we'll get the job done. We probably would have lost today, and that's why I've got to give credit to the players in that they had enough respect and healthy respect to OKR, to be given that favourite tag that we have been. So one-sided in the build-up to this, yet to still go out there and do that, that sort of says a lot about the players' mentality.
Tom, how does it feel to break the record of five tries?
Yeah, pretty incredible. Obviously a special achievement for myself. I wasn't aware of it until after the game when someone came up and said that I had broke the record and it was at four prior to this game. So obviously a very, very special moment for me personally.
Kevin, the London game went on, was it the call was nil and keep them going?
No, I just thought we were very professional today. I think it was mentioned at half time about keeping them to nil. But I have to say, I just thought it was a great team performance. I thought everyone did the job. We had a great plan again. We knew what we needed to do and thankfully delivered.
I want to ask a question because as the game went on near the end, you seemed to be shooting them every time you prevented them getting across the line.
I think in an 80 minute game, the closer you get to nil in the team, the more you celebrate it. I think to do it on that sort of stage is pretty special. I'd echo Brian's thoughts on OKR. I think they've had it pretty tough the last couple of weeks in terms of the opposition they've played. And because of how intense them Super 8s have been for us, they put us in a position today in great nick and ready for a game where the ball's in play for a lot of minutes. You know how sapping Wembley can be. But I thought from 1 to 17 we delivered. I really feel for OKR. Look, I've lost 5 finals, as you know, and I know how tough it must be for those guys in that dressing room, for all those fans travelling on, but it was a really tough game, and I know you may be looking at me thinking 50-0 in Mad. It was a really tough game, and I thought they had a real dig, and I'd urge the fans to stick with them. I think I know how much hurt some of those guys are going through in that dressing room, so my big message today, apart from how happy we are and how pleased and how thankful I am of our team and our club and our fans, to be okay, I'll just have some faith in where they're going and what they're doing.
Right, the loss made a Ryan Hall's impact on your team, rightly so, but what about Tom's performances this year and the way he's come into the club from Hull? How pleased have you been with the impact he has on your team?
He doesn't need me to talk him up. He's a bit of a different player to Ryan Hall. He's a strong winger. You know, you say he's a big winger and he's strong, and that's probably where the likeness has finished with Hawley. He plays a bit of a different style there to Hawley. And Hawley asks a question of their physicality every week, and Tom's got a bit more evasiveness about him, probably. But, you know, what a fantastic job he's done in coming in and then being out for such a long time with a shoulder. And then to come back, and I know he's got some doubts and had some doubts about how strong his shoulder was, but then came back, and I think within the first game we saw some traits in him that we really, really missed. He's been a great acquisition for us. I hope he stays for a long, long time.
Tom, you obviously had a few low points when for yourself, obviously came off injured in your first appearance here for Hull. Does the load, going through the lows, make it even more sweeter experience and stuff like that?
Yeah, it definitely does. Obviously, the first cup, like you say, I got injured, and then a similar story to Hull KR today. Got nailed by Wigan in my second appearance here, so know the feeling that Hull KR players are going through at the minute. But that low, and I suppose like Kevin and a lot of the boys at this club will tell you as well, that builds for just an incredible feeling when you're walking up those stairs to get a winner's medal at the end of it.
Tom, when you broke free for your long range, did it seem like the trial line was sort of moving backwards when you weren't ever going to get it?
It definitely did. I looked up and it were a million miles away. I broke the first tackle attempt, I suppose, and then looked up and I think I got to the 50 metres and saw, I think it was CO tracking across, and I was thinking, am I going to make this? I suppose it was a great effort by him to push me right until the end and get a tougher kick for Kev. I was glad that run was over.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
So there we go, let's draw the curtain on the Challenge Cup final. That was the coaching staff. Well, certainly Brian McDermott, anyway, the head honcho. alongside him, club skipper Kevin Sinfield and Tom Briscoe, you heard last of all.
Lancashire Trophy winner, Tom Briscoe, Lancashire, as he will now be known.
Yeah, yeah. He'll get the freedom of Featherstone now, won't he?
He will. He gets a night out at Salford as well, doesn't he?
Talking about Salford, just to prove that this show isn't just hauled together at the last minute, as it has been today, but never mind.
We were lucky to get here with all the traffic.
We were. Very lucky indeed. And one man who's, I think, a bit relieved to get out of his location is Yestin Harris. Now, he's been missing, presumed ill, for the last couple of months there at Salford, hasn't he?
He certainly has, yeah.
Hasn't been seen anywhere since they lost against Hull Kingston Rovers. See, all these Hull Kingston Rovers hold the key, don't they?
Maybe. I don't know, but he's finally been relieved of his duties today, hasn't he?
Now, he becomes the third man to have been relieved of his coaching duties by Marwan Kukash since he took over. I hope he treats his horses better.
Well, yeah, definitely, yeah. And they've all got a bit of a link as well, haven't they? Yeah, with Phil Vevers being a former Wigan assistant.
Okay.
Yeah. Then Brian Noble, former Wigan coach.
Yeah.
And then Yestin, again, a former Wigan assistant.
Fortunately, they broke that link now.
Yeah, because the Wigan assistant left about 3 months, a couple of months ago, Paul Deakin, so he must have known what was coming. So he's gotten scarpered off to Rugby Union.
He's breathing a huge sigh of relief, isn't he, I think? Thinking, flipping heck, I'm glad they're not coming for me now. No, but fair play to Ian Watson. And having seen Salford at close quarters over the last couple of weeks, mm-hmm. I think that he'll do a good job there, Ian Watson. He's done his Rugby League coaching pedigree, he's built it up the right way. You know, he's come through the Championship. He was an assistant first of all at Swinton, where he had that long association with them, did a little bit of coaching at other places as well where he could, and you know, was a skipper. So this was like a natural progression going on to Salford. And okay, he's probably got the top job a little bit sooner than he anticipated, but personally, I'm really pleased for Ian Watson, because I think he's a very, very knowledgeable guy, and he'll just carry on learning.
He comes across very, very well when, you know, I've heard him in reports after the games. And obviously as well, he's had this, where's Yestin, on his back as well. He's under big pressure from Dr. Kukash, well, from Marwan Kukash, because they're under pressure, because they need to get back into the Super League. It'd be absolute travesty for Salford if they didn't make, the cut into next year's Super League and, ended up in the Championship. You know, what would happen then? You know, no one really knows. Would Mr. Kukash take his money and decide that, yeah, horses are the best thing? Or, you know, will he be looking at, you know, trying to romp the Championship? But as you know, with Lee this year, when you've still got to get into this middle sevens, and you've still got to, you know, push there. And
if you're relegated there?
I've relegated everyone, I think.
You've done middle sevens. What's the middle sevens? It's the eights. Who's not turned up? Well, you could say that Lee maybe haven't shown up over the first three
Sheffield
games.
Sheffield have been. Yeah, Sheffield. Yeah, okay. Apologies to Sheffield fans if you listen.
We'll
sorry for leaving you out.
We'll come back to the qualifiers in just a minute.
Radio General is a registered charity and is run by a dedicated group of volunteers. Each member provides a regular commitment to the station for no monetary reward. If you'd like to help Radio General and think you could demonstrate the commitment needed, then write to us for an application form. Our address is Radio General, Warrington Hospital, Lovely Lane, Warrington, WA5 1QG. Or check out the website for more details at www.radiogeneral.co.uk. Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
That's what happens when there's no music behind him.
I know, yeah.
Definitely. You noticed that then. Don't know where that music went, but hey, never mind.
Oh, well, it's all right. It sounds good in a cappella, anyway.
It's live show. We should get me and you actually saying some of these sayings, shouldn't we?
You reckon?
I think so. All right. What do you reckon?
Well, we could try, yeah.
You know, this is the loverugbyleague.com podcast.
I'd have to wait until I get a cold, and then I could sound a bit like Barry White and do a really, like, sort of deep one.
Hey, well, of course I am the Barry White of Rugby League. It has been commented. This is, of course, the Final Hooter on Radio General. Now, we've been discussing quite a lot. Obviously, things hopefully starting to get better now at Salford. Now
very much so, yeah.
Another club where they're hoping things will start to get better are Featherstone Rovers. Now, their luck's certainly on the turn, because up until 10 minutes before time in their latest fixture in the Championship Shield against Batley Bulldogs, they were losing by 26 points to 6.
Game over.
Game over. You'd think so, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
But then 4 tries in the last 10 minutes, including an almighty clanger from a former Super League player.
Absolutely unbelievable. If you haven't seen the video, go onto Facebook, Twitter, it's there.
Yeah, it's on Sky Sports.
Sky Sports.
As well, it's all over.
It's everywhere, and make sure you got the sound up as well, because the actual laughter from the Featherstone fans when they score, but pretty much that would go down on a Christmas DVD by probably Danny Baker. He'd probably even make a football one, you know, because it was that good. Or that bad of a kick, should we say.
You know, we both do our first year of commentary, you know, yourself for Radio General, myself for Lee Centurions TV. And how would you have described that?
I think I'd have probably said, oh my goodness, or something. What is he doing? And then I'd have probably gone very, very high-pitched when the Featherstone winger went into the corner.
I mean, to be fair, you get...
But it was a grandstand finish. I mean, even the hooter went, you know, in the build-up, you know, kick the ball down. You know, all you needed to do is to kick the ball dead or run the ball dead. He'd have been better off just running to the touchline to celebrate with the rest of his team.
Yeah.
If he'd have run off to the touchline, then it'd have been fine. But, you know, rush of blood. He thinks, you know, he's, you know, Fran Obotica, and he can kick the ball to the other side of the stand, and he just slices off his foot, and, you know, the rest is history. But you've just got to feel sorry for him because, you know, even when you look at his own players, they didn't really go up and console him. They sort of just looked at him and say, like,
oh, no, there were a couple.
Was there a couple? There was definitely one that gave him the dirtiest look you've ever seen.
There was a couple that left him there.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
to be fair, the skipper, you know, came across and picked him up.
And again, we highlighted Kieran Dixon doing a couple of dropses at Wembley, and, you know, that's not, you know, and Sean Ainscoe probably thinking exactly the same. Doesn't matter where you play in your rugby league, you make a clangor like that, and it's, you know, it's awful. But hopefully he'll be back on, and he'll get a couple of tries this week to get his head back on the game.
So that helped keep Featherstone top of the Championship Shield at the weekend. In second place, Dewsbury Rams extended their advantage with a close-fought win over London Broncos. And that's the third time that they've beaten London Broncos this season. So if there is a team in the Championship that certainly has a bit of a voodoo sign over another, it's Dewsbury Rams against London Broncos.
And also as well, with London being in third position as well, it strengthens their position into second place as well. So a very good win for the Rams.
Well, yeah, they could end up having to go to Dewsbury again, because the way that it works
out... Do you want to go?
I know. The way it works out in these playoffs is 1v4, 2v3.
Oh, right, yeah. So it would be, yeah.
Not the Super Sevens like you mentioned before.
Or the Fantastic Fours.
Or the Fantastic Fours. Yeah. Although I'm sure we'll have a few Silver Surfers tuning into us.
Oh, you never know.
You never know.
Right, we're not available on air, though. Online.
We will be later.
Oh, yeah, I'll be all right.
We
then.
Will be later. That's fine. Once I add the, you know, bit of, once I edit it.
Oh, yeah, a bit of technical.
Edit out the worst bits, so I'll just leave you in charge.
All right, thank you.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel that the rest of the rugby league is really taking up these challenges of the eights, unless you're St. Helens, in which case you've lost all three of your games.
Or Warrington,
you know, who haven't really risen to the challenge yet either.
Yeah, it's been a little bit strange because, you know, I've enjoyed all the rest of the games, you know, in the Super 8s that I've watched on the TV, and, you know, as watching it from a neutral point of view, it's been great. But from sort of, you know, putting my Warrington spectator hat on, my Warrington fan hat, it's been absolutely the worst thing that rugby league's created, because Warrington's season basically was close to being over, and then three defeats in, I've got nothing to play for, four matches, and it's going to be interesting this week on Sunday how Warrington and Hull as well, who again have got nothing really to play for, how they actually cope this week and what sort of match we'll be in for. Will sort of the pressure be off? You know, we could have a, you know, a 30-all or something like that, or will it be, you know, a really drab game? I don't know. It's going to be interesting this week. But for fans of obviously that club, you know, it's difficult for Warrington to market this game, because there's absolutely nothing to play for.
To be fair, though, that's Warrington's own fault, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's Hull's own fault.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, end of the day, I mean, as long as you don't say fish smash or something like that, otherwise we'll be in right trouble again, won't we?
Definitely, yeah. I remember the three-eyed fish as well.
Oh, yeah,
against
yeah,
the
yeah.
old witness
yeah,
yeah, crew. Yeah.
Sean Mellor's idea, that, I believe. Of course. But, yeah, it's interesting to see how these games will go, these sort of non-games, but again, there's probably a few Warrington and Hull players who are playing for Super League contracts next season as well, so it'd be interesting. But I just think sometimes some of the players who know they won't be there next season, sometimes they have one eye on the beach, so be interesting to see who's right.
The qualifiers have taken a week off, obviously, with the rest of the Rugby League pilgrimage heading their way down to London. Mm. But they're back this weekend. Now, Bradford Bulls had a great result last time out. They smashed Salford 41-10.
Fantastic.
They're going to be playing against Widnes. Now, I've seen Widnes so far in this this qualifiers competition. They flattered to deceive despite winning two of the three games.
Yeah, well, a couple of the games have been on the Sunday Sports Show, which obviously I present as well, and yeah, you know, listening to yourself and Adrian in the commentary, you know, they struggled against Halifax, got a couple of late tries just to make that game probably a little more than what it was. You know, and, you know, they weren't brilliant, you know, the last game out as well when they got beat by Hull Kingston Rovers. You know, if ever there was a good time to play Hull K, it's the week before a Wembley final, isn't it? You know, and again, they struggled a little bit. They got, you know, they got a good win against Sheffield. But yeah, it's massive for Widnes this because Bradford will be on a high, even though they've had a week off.
And it's Oddsall as well.
And, yeah, exactly. And, you know, as we know from when they were in Super League, Oddsall's a difficult place to go, especially if the weather's not great because it's literally just a hole in the ground, isn't it? You know,
it's cavernous.
Yeah, and it rains there when it doesn't rain anywhere else in the country. So
own microclimate.
That's what it is.
That's what the Bradford people tell me.
Oh, yeah. I've been there and got wet a lot of times. And, yeah, it's going to be very, very difficult for Widnes. But if they're going to turn up, they need to turn up this week because, you know, they've got to play Wakefield. Mm-hmm. As well, and Lee, who of course are fighting for their lives now to try and get into this final match. You know,
yeah, I think with the way
they've been so unlucky
with the way that it's been structured. This competition, Lee have had to learn on the feet.
Yeah, yeah,
so
very
they've gone
much
in and they've gone from you know, and this is no disrespect to the rest of the championship competition, but they've gone from a run in, which included Dewsbury and Hunslet.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Doncaster. And they've suddenly have to come up against a team that's qualified for Wembley. Played them off the park for 40 minutes, but come to stay in it. And, you know, great comeback from Hull Kingston Rovers. That's, you know, been and gone then. They were taught a rugby league lesson at Salford where every mistake was punished. And that is certainly something which Adrian, who would normally be in here, you know, helping us to present the show, he would often say, That's something which he's learned from watching Widnes over the last few years. How they've developed into a Super League entity.
Widnes have improved over the last couple of years as they've found their feet. And yeah, it is difficult for Lee, and you know, it's been difficult for Bradford as well. But you know, if Widnes can beat Bradford this week, that'll help Lee no end. And if Lee, of course, can get a win on Sunday, then you know, they're back in it.
That's true. They've got to win the last four matches though to get this.
It's doable
to get this this top five spot.
You heard it first here from me. It's doable.
Right. Okay. So I'll put my pound on based on what you said.
No.
Okay. Now, finally, we've just
tipped OKR by the way on Saturday.
Finally, we've just got a couple of minutes to discuss what's happening in League One, and I'm going to highlight just two teams in this because Oldham Roughheads have gone through the horrors. You know, they're playing in a ramshackle ground. They're doing the very best that they can.
Been broken into a couple of times, well, haven't they?
More than a couple. Yeah. It seems every time they want to do a bit of an improvement, some vandal turns up and ruins all the work. So, you know, my heart goes out to Alden, and I'm really glad that they are starting to come good. But particularly Swinton, at this moment in time, they are the form team in rugby league. They've won 9 on the bounce.
Fantastic. And I've got a little soft spot for Swinton, of course. Warrington had a little bit of a partnership with them for a couple of years and what have you. So,
I noticed doing much better now Warrington's not involved then.
Exactly. So you know, maybe Warrington should take credit by moving away.
And okay, you mentioned the Lance Todd Trophy winner, but can I just finish with a big congratulations to Stuart Littler. Anything Tom Briscoe can do, Stuart Littler can also do. He scored 5 tries on Monday against Oxford. Great result for Swinton.
Brilliant. So well done to Stuart Littler, but you don't get the Lance Todd Trophy for that one, I'm afraid.
That's just about us done and dusted for this episode of The Final Hooter. We hope you've enjoyed it. Join me again very soon.